Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Hitch up your reindeer and go straight to the ghetto.
Bottom line, the council, the mayor, and city attorney have decided to elevate the First Amendment above the Holy Scriptures of Christianity. The First Amendment was written by Christian men who would have never put the First Amendment above the Bible.
This is a guy named James Hunter at the city council meeting last week, which I told you was a 5-hour and 45-minute bleep show. I mean, it was a mess, not only because of Baptists, but we continue to have a handful of people showing up that are upset about the Drag Queen Christmas show that's coming a couple days before Christmas at the Sanger Theater. James Hunter thinks it's outrageous that you would put the First Amendment above the Bible. I actually think that legally that's exactly where you want it to be. The First Amendment is what protects you in your ability to advocate for the gospel. It also protects you in your ability to advocate against the gospel, and I want both. So, you know, the notion that we should have a Bible-oriented theocracy, sir, no. I mean, I love the Bible, too. It doesn't mean that I want every passage of the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, to be the guiding rule of law for us, and I don't think you do either. Even though you might say you do, I don't think you do either.
Council may have been told by those claiming to be Christian pastors or ministers that you are on God's side by taking the stand that you thus far have taken.
In favor of, say, freedom and tolerance.
I would say simply that you have been listening to wolves in sheep's clothing.
So all the Christians who are not down at City Hall protesting this aren't really Christians? Any leaders like this? By the way, you know what's an interesting note on this? How much have you heard from any of the big churches in town on this? Nothing. You know, silence is comment, too. Oh, I'm sure they all don't like the show itself. I'm equally sure that they, most of them, I don't want to speak for any of them in particular, share my view, which is that based on the law and the First Amendment and the totality of the circumstances, you have to allow the show. They wish the show wouldn't happen, but they don't think you can stop it, and they don't want a world in which one group of people can yell loud enough and stop somebody else's form of expression. The non-comment by so many Christian leaders in this community is also deafening, by the way. And I'm not even getting into the issue of where people live, whether they live in the city or not. You know, if they live in the county and they come to the city to protest something that's happening in the city, I mean, it is all of our city, and I don't disagree that you should be able to, but, I mean, you know, is it city residents? So he goes on.
You have been lied to. We serve a Lord who walked into the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers. What do you think he thinks of this affront to the faith that he brought to this earth?
That passage does not apply to this. I don't know what you're talking about. Now, Jesus was willing to be offensive. Jesus was willing to be loud, even violent at times. But he was loud, particularly in that case, against the rules set up by the religious leaders of the day. He was anti-Pharisee far more vehemently than he was, you know, anti-sinner. And in fact, the part of the point of that passage about the money changers is that they had so crowded out the space that was available for non-Jews to worship God in supposedly a quiet, peaceful, tranquil outer court area of the temple. The problem wasn't just the money changing, which was where you'd go to redeem your money to buy turtle doves and whatnot to sacrifice, but it was so loud and clangy and commerce-oriented that you had taken away a place for the non-Jews to go and worship and come to God and turned it into a chaotic bazaar. That's the point of that whole message. Like, man, you couldn't misunderstand the passage worse. Anyway, James Johnson, who I had a good podcast with the other day, we talked for 80 minutes about all of this, and he'll release that today. He's the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church, and of course, he comes on right after this segment. But he says,
Nina West is actually Andrew Levitt. He's a man. Feminine pronouns do not apply to Andrew Levitt or any of those performers. To say otherwise is to feed their psychological sin sickness and to promote the devil's agenda. Sadly, this council is obliging the mentally ill who actually need help, and yet you're giving tacit approval to their lies. So I say again, you all have sided with the mentally ill and with lies.
Yeah, even though I somewhat agree with the idea that, you know, transgenderism and the belief system around it and all of that is, you know, not biblical, not in line with scripture, and, you know, to some degree misguided or illogical. I mean, I do the transgressor ceremony, you've heard. People that you disagree with, people who have a confusion or a mistake, it doesn't mean that the government should be used to stifle their. And we had a very good long conversation about this. It'll be on the podcast.
Specifically, Jared, and I know Casey's not here tonight, but I am deeply disappointed in you because you know better. Because you're both professing Christian men. This was your opportunity to stand for Christ and to stand for righteousness. This was your opportunity as Christian men to show that you know the difference between the sacred and the profane. On this issue of Drag Queen Christmas, you have completely failed. Your Christian presence on this council has had the same net effect as if a God-denying atheist sat in your chair. It's very disappointing.
But that's what you want. You want the atheist to not restrict the Christian. By the way, I think the Sanger's doing a Christian show the day before, or the next day after this show. And you want the Christian to protect you want them to protect each other under the First Amendment to allow for space for people who disagree. So I don't think Jared and Casey have disappointed anybody, unless you think the role of government is to impose their personal values on other people, which I do not think that's the role of government, for adults anyway. And so when what Pastor Johnson is saying against them, he's saying against me for defending it, you know, or at least saying that, because if I'm on city council, I vote exactly the way they're voting. Is that because we're bad Christians or because we disagree with you as Christians? And again, we had a very, you know, civil conversation about all of this. We'll come back because there was actually another part of this meeting that was very interesting. At least I thought so. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still accident free, but on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Just a minor delay in that area. Just slow you down just a little bit. Other than that, we're good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Somebody texted and says the founding fathers would have been fans of Shakespeare, in which it was all men portraying even the women. You know, like there are, and I told you the other day about in White Christmas, there's a drag show, you know, where the boys are singing as the girl. I mean, it's just, you want to be consistent, okay? And I don't mean to be flippant about some of these things, but, you know, there is a matter of thinking it through consistently across all domains. So Stephen McCollum, who is a defender and advocate of the show, spoke, and he was actually the first person who spoke, and I thought his comments were very interesting.
So I couldn't be here at the last city council meeting because I was actually at a Drag Queen Christmas in Tyson's Corner, Virginia, because I wanted to go see what all the hubbub was about. It was a really good show. There were no drag queens running around the streets, as you've been made out to believe. There was no use of the word Christ at all, none, zero during the show. There was no mockery of Christmas. There was no nudity. There was no exposing of genitals, as has been said by many that have been here before. And there was no lewd and lascivious behavior. In fact, the most kind of daring thing I saw was a burlesque number that was, quite frankly, more tame than any number of the burlesque shows that have rolled through vinyl on any given night throughout the year.
Now, I've seen some. I've seen one episode or one of these performances, not in its entirety. It's a little bit edited, so there may be things in there I missed. But Stephen McCollum sounds like an honest person to me. You know, he may be misrepresenting it, but I don't think so. He may be seeing it through a certain lens. But again, he went out of his way to go find the information. And if, you know, am I up here defending something horrible or something that people really should be at least or have valid concerns about? And he says no.
What I did see is people's love of Christmas, homages to the Nutcracker, homages to Elf, homages to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, what the folks who were singing was talking about, which was celebrating the spirit of Christmas and bringing joy. I did find it rather poignant that they were honoring a veteran who was in the audience and brought him up on stage during a number. And I know veterans are real close to our hearts here in Pensacola.
And he says he talked to the organizers, Murray and Peter, who I agree with Pastor Johnson have been involved in some legal problems in the past related to content in shows, and that should concern us. I mean, that's a factor in this conversation.
I also had the great opportunity to talk to Murray of Murray and Peter Presents, and he wanted Pensacola to know that all of his artists are committed to delivering a fantastic show for our citizens, that they were all prepared to be here and bring Christmas joy and spread Christmas joy despite the opposition that was coming from our community.
And I still don't know in advance whether the show is going to be, obscene or non-obscene. I would guess it's going to be non-obscene, but it's entirely possible they show up and perform to get arrested. I mean, both are possible, and I don't know which one to predict, but I am a believer that you don't exercise prior restraint over expression. You come back after the fact and punish restraint or punish content that is, in fact, obscene or violates the law.
So I just wanted to report back that I decided to take the time and fly to Virginia and see the show because I thought it was important as someone who is standing up here advocating for it to come back and report on what exactly I did see.
Yeah, and in my watch of one of the YouTube videos of Drag Queen Christmas from last year, I would say that it's not my cup of tea. I don't go out of my way to watch it. I didn't find anything that was particularly offensive. There were some fairly relatively lewd moments, but I thought it was very much in the norm for what is typical for a drag show or a burlesque show. Again, not something I enjoy, not something I love happening, and I'm not buying a ticket. I'm not going to see it. But something that I don't think the city is in a position to cancel after they have already scheduled it. Should they create a framework for the future of values and concerns and make sure that going forward we pick wisely for shows? Oh, yeah, absolutely. But there's the consistency question. Does this mean, will all drag shows be canceled? I mean, that's a significant revenue generator for the city. Money's not everything. What will be the limits? Will the psychic show be canceled? And again, just because it's a public venue doesn't mean that you suddenly have the ability to restrict all the content. You still have, concerns about neutrality for the government. Last thing, and I just thought this is an interesting note from Steve McCollum. Have you seen the box? That's not a box. It's a trailer with a stand-up poster driving around town with a picture of DC Reeves and Jared Moore and the drag queens and saying that this is what they support. This is what they made possible by refusing to intervene.
All of you are aware, especially those that are on it, of this billboard that's driving around Pensacola objecting to the show. And I had a chuckle because it is the only time I have ever seen a drag queen portrayed driving past Winterfest where there are children present up and down Palafox. So I thought I would make that point just to share that the only exposure that children are getting to drag queens in this town are by the opposition who say that they're against the exposure of drag queens to children.
Oops. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, it is all about Christmas in Pensacola. Downtown lights, where to go, and don't miss out on your chance to catch a picture in front of a holiday cube.
Today at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Cat Country 98.7 is honored to receive the 2025 Service to America Award for something truly close to our hearts. Because of you, the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon fully funded the Angel Eye program at Ascension Sacred Heart Hospital, helping families stay connected when it matters most. Share in the moment and celebration and watch the Service to America Award special this Sunday at 1 p.m. on WEAR-TV3. Hometown proud. Cat Country 98.7.
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
It will be an honor, sir.
Hi, I'm Tom DeFranco with DeFranco Gas, thanking all our customers for a great year. We'd like to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from all of us at DeFranco Gas.
Your beer doesn't have one of those things that goes over your ears.
Well, that's because it's real, just like I'm really Santa Claus.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
I'm singing I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Yes, there is.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Did you play this at 7 o'clock?
I sure did, buddy.
So fine. How about this?
On hillsides of moonlight.
Lane, I can make you happy.
Okay.
It's down here. You know this song?
Nope, but I like it.
It's getting there. It's getting there. Give it a second.
On a crisp blue night, suddenly the darkness breaks with full daylight, with hosts of heaven's angels filling the sky. Glory to God.
Who's singing this?
This is down here. They have a couple of really great songs, and then they put out either a song or a Christmas album later on that I love. So, 7:25. Yeah, I know, they're quite good. 7:25, 7:26 actually here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John,
that's right. No accidents to report, but if you are on I-10 eastbound, let's see here, between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 7-minute construction congestion delay there. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm not seeing any other delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Just a couple of texts that came in on this Drag Queen Christmas discussion. Somebody says the person must hate Mrs. Doubtfire, or the pastor must hate Mrs. Doubtfire. Somebody else says, I can tell you this, Andrew, my church is more interested in making heaven crowded than it is in what's going on downtown, because if they come to Christ, we wouldn't have shows like this. Focus on expanding the gospel rather than fighting the effects of sin, you know? And you can do both. You know, and I don't disagree with the interest in culture issues, but I do agree with you that generally speaking, if all you're ever doing is putting out fires and not planting trees, you lose the forest anyway. So yes, win souls, win souls, win souls, and eventually some of the other stuff will take care of itself. Why are none of these folks protesting the cross-dressing bar in town? Somebody says, let's see. This is just about somebody buying a ticket. You should expect lost people to act like lost people. Yeah, amen. I mean, don't be surprised. Even though I don't like the idea of the show, if you restrict shows at Vinyl, I'd say about half the concerts I've seen down there would have been restricted. And, you know, actually in the podcast that James Johnson and I did the other day, that'll be up today, we had a long conversation about consistency and other forms of sin, sexual sin, drag shows versus strip clubs, all of that. It was a really good conversation. You would like it. Very, very civil. We're friends. We disagree pretty deeply about this, but we're good friends. 437-1620. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, today is the deadline for the Trump administration to release the Epstein files. The Epstein Files Transparency Act was passed last month to make the records public. Some parts of the files could still be redacted. Federal prosecutors in Texas are pursuing charges against a Venezuelan gang the U.S. government says is a foreign terrorist organization. Four Venezuelan nationals are under indictment for international drug trafficking and terrorist offenses. Two of the four are among the top leaders of Tren de Aragua. And Pete Davidson has become a father for the first time. The Saturday Night Live star and his girlfriend Elsie Hewitt announced that she was pregnant over the summer. On Thursday, the actress posted a series of photos on Instagram of her and Davidson with their newborn daughter.
You know, I saw this news and I thought, great for him. You know, finally settling down, maybe, building a family. All the benefit to you that come from becoming a parent, how it changes you. It changes your time horizons. There's this old, wonderful book that was written in the 80s, I believe, by George Gilder. It's called Men and Marriage. Everybody ought to read it. It's fantastic. And the short version of that book is that the key threat to civilization is unmarried, unattached, single young men. 18 to 25 year old men are the problem for society. So you got to take all of that activity and energy and, you know, impulse, and you've got to transform it into long-term valuable event horizon so that they're invested in the community and advocate using all of that energy and power for the community. You do that through marriage, through childbearing, through becoming a father and caring about the things that parents care about. And, marriage is the ultimate domesticating tool for men primarily. It also gives us 20 years on our life. That marriage is what benefits the society, not just the individual. So good for Pete Davidson. And I hope marriage does for him what it does for the vast majority of us. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars, about 300 on the lot at any moment. And the value of that is when you want to go look at a 1, 2, 3-year-old car, you can look at 5, 6, 10, 20 different sedans or SUVs or trucks all side by side, different makes, different models, different trim levels. And if you find you can, without having to go meet 7 different salespeople, okay? You know, you just talk to one a little bit and then you can drive the cars. And that gives you the advantage of not having to go all around town and spend all of your time. Just get it all out in one place. If they have what you want, buy it. If they don't have what you want, send them looking for it. Frontier Motors, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa. Police say a homeless man named John helped crack the case of the mass shooting at Brown University. Fox's Brian Yenis.
Police credit an anonymous tipster saying that he had seen the shooter in the area just a couple hours before the shooting. His name is John, a homeless man and former Brown University student who 2 hours before the shooting locked eyes with the gunman in the bathroom in the basement area across from the classroom where the shooting took place.
Cops say the suspect then murdered an MIT professor who he knew from his school days in Europe.
Authorities identify the shooter as Claudio Neves Valente from Portugal, and his classmate was MIT professor Nuno Loureiro. Authorities say Neves Valente murdered his former classmate at his home outside of Boston.
Fox's Nate Foy in New Hampshire, and President Trump delivers a speech in North Carolina. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 53 degrees, sunshine this morning, looking like it's going to be a beautiful day. We'll get our full forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. First, our news headlines. Escambia County Commissioners recently approved a policy change that could increase retirement payouts to county employees. The Deferred Retirement Option Program, or DROP, now formally allows senior employees to cash out up to 1,000 hours of vacation time, which could be worth around $200,000 for a senior-level employee. A recent payroll audit revealed just how broad this practice has become.
Right now, you've got a lot of higher-ups in DROP.
Right.
So well-paid, right, set it and forget it time. And so they build leave quickly, and then they get another bucket of leave and another bucket of leave. It's a long period of time. DROP went from 5 years to 8 years.
Oh.
And wow. I really haven't calculated the number.
I gotcha.
I was trying to deal with policy language.
Yeah.
I'm just using a very simple example for you to understand that a government employee under this policy at the administrative level is going to leave with $200,000 in their DROP. Period.
Escambia Clerk of Court and Comptroller Pam Childers explaining that issue yesterday, and she says there's now over 100 employees in that program and believes the total cost could reach into the millions of dollars. Childers warned that Escambia's policy is more generous than other Florida counties. Escambia Fire Rescues added another red bulb to the Keep the Wreath Green campaign following a fire on Thursday morning. Firefighters responded to a house on Dees Road just after 2 a.m. They say a space heater in the garage caused that fire. Crews extinguished the flames quickly and prevented it from spreading into the home. It's the sixth fire in Escambia County in 2025. The campaign displays 5-foot wreaths at county and city fire stations throughout the area. Each red bulb replaces a green one when firefighters respond to a fire with damage. U.S. and Russian officials are meeting in Miami over the weekend to discuss ending the war in Ukraine. The talks come after Ukraine and European partners reached 90% consensus on a proposal. U.S. officials say they're optimistic Russia will agree to terms offering Ukraine security guarantees similar to NATO's mutual defense treaty. However, previous talks in Moscow back December 2nd saw Putin reject multiple provisions. It's unclear still if this weekend's meeting will produce a breakthrough. College football has reached a breaking point. That's what we heard yesterday from Governor DeSantis. While he once supported name, image, likeness as a fairness issue for athletes, he says the current system now just isn't adding up.
It's hard to even know whether your teams are going to be good year after year because you don't know who you're going to lose. And then to do the transfer portal right as we're getting into the playoff, how does that make sense?
And the governor says constant negotiating, free movement through the transfer portal, and NIL bidding wars have now pushed the sport to rock bottom. He's hopeful reforms can bring stability back. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10 eastbound between the 9 Mile and Highway 29. Think about a 7-minute congestion construction delay. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
Nice sunny skies today with some very breezy conditions. Winds out of the north at about 10 to 20 miles an hour. Highs today near 62 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 43. For Saturday, plenty of sunshine, high near 67. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Looking at some lovely weather on Sunday with some partly cloudy skies, high near 72. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 57. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we've got 53 degrees with sunshine. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. House leadership and Republican members say a vote on legislation banning members from owning or trading stocks could get a vote in the new year. President Trump has said he supports a congressional ban, but has pushed back on versions that include the executive branch. Reuters reports President Trump's administration has launched a review that could result in the first shipments to China of NVIDIA's second most powerful AI chips, making good on his pledge to allow the controversial sales. Trump this month said he would allow sales of NVIDIA's H200 chips to China, with the U.S. government collecting a 25% fee. Ford is recalling more than 272,000 vehicles in the U.S. due to a loss of park function, causing the vehicle to roll away and increasing the risk of a crash. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said the park module software will be updated over the air or by a dealer free of charge. Futures are currently mixed. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 65, the NASDAQ up 313, the S&P 500 up 53. That's your money now.
Come on.
Looking for reliable auto repairs without breaking the bank?
Well, yeah.
At Affordable Automotive, we keep your car and your budget running smooth.
That's more like it.
Hi, I'm Kenny with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. My father started this business over 30 years ago, and we continue to proudly serve the Gulf Coast with trusted local service. Whether you're a first-time or returning customer, we inspect each vehicle like it's our own. From oil changes, engine replacements, and diagnostics, our certified techs do it right the first time. Fast, honest, and fair, just like auto service should be. So if your car needs care, bring it to Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze, a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo. Visit us at AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com and schedule your appointment today. That's AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com. Affordable Automotive. Quality you can afford.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850. 850-
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
So, the ongoing saga around Mark Kelly and the video, retired Captain Mark Kelly, Senator now, and the video admonishing troops not to obey illegal orders, the Venezuelan drug boat strikes, the presence in American cities of the military are kind of swirling around this conversation, and now the response by the Department of War that they are investigating him, that the Pentagon has now actually elevated the review of his case to a formal command investigation. He is not active duty. He is retired, but, you know, theoretically he could be brought back into service, and this is a pretty rare moment for an investigation about possible violations of the UCMJ for somebody who's retired, but that's what's going on. You remember the video, you remember the Trump response, you now know what the Department of War is doing. So it's weird. It's certainly very weird. I believe wrong. I believe political. I believe inappropriate. You know, a senator, not only in addition to being retired, a senator certainly has the right to speak freely and to say in this case something which is true, which is that troops are not supposed to obey illegal orders. That's not even controversial. That is a perfectly appropriate thing, and the fact that Trump lost his mind when he said it shows what Trump doesn't understand about the military. But here's where it gets really interesting. This is because this case is not, this story is not over. The story is ongoing. It's going to be ongoing. And what I always want you to do is I always want you to have as much of the facts as you can. So I take you now to the Supreme Court case about whether Trump has immunity from prosecution. You remember this case in the Supreme Court? Whether operating within his power as the executive, whether he can be prosecuted for those things and when he can be prosecuted for those things, and can he be charged as a sitting president and all of this. You remember all of this? And there were hypotheticals that were brought up in that case. Well, could the president order the military, for example, SEAL Team 6, to assassinate one of his political rivals, and would he be shielded from immunity? Would that be an official act? You remember this? Remember all this? This is, this is in April. The Supreme Court heard this case in April. So John Sauer at the time is arguing for the president at the Supreme Court, and he's talking to Justice Samuel Alito.
Well, I mean, one might argue that it isn't plausibly legal to order SEAL Team 6, and I don't want to slander SEAL Team 6 because they're honorable. They're honorable officers, and they are bound by the Uniform Code of Military Justice not to obey unlawful orders. But no, I think one could say that it's not plausible that is legal, that that action would be legal.
So is it treason for Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito to remind everybody that, well, of course troops aren't supposed to obey illegal orders? Is that treason? No, by the way, no. It's not treason. It's just the law. Elena Kagan also talking with John Sauer.
How about if a president orders the military to stage a coup?
I think that, as the Chief Justice pointed out earlier, where there is a whole series of, sort of guidelines against that, so to speak, like the UCMJ prohibits the military from following a plainly unlawful act.
Wait. The lawyer for the president said that the UCMJ prohibits the military from following an illegal order? Well, you better not let President Trump find out he said that. In his defense at the Supreme Court, he still wouldn't allow that the military had to obey an illegal order because everybody knows this. Brett Kavanaugh.
Just to clarify this, the president's not above the law. The president's not a king. The founders thought that. I think your point in response to that is the president is subject to prosecution for all personal acts, just like every other American for personal acts. The question is acts taken in an official capacity.
That's correct. And even those, of course, if there was an impeachment and conviction, could be prosecuted on our view.
I mean, I guess we got to try everybody for treason, including Pam Bondi. In this case, Pam Bondi, as a lawyer for the America First Policy Institute, filed a brief with the Supreme Court writing, in quote, okay, I think she was not yet, this was maybe last year in a case, this was not this same case, but she writes, quote, military officers are required not to carry out unlawful orders. The military, she's still writing, the military would not carry out a potentially unlawful order from the president to kill non-military targets. Indeed, service members are required not to do so. Oh, it was this. I remember this now. It was this case after Sauer had fumbled the ball so badly at the lower court before it got to the Supreme Court, in which he had kind of implied that he could order him to, you know, kill political enemies with the military. And she came back to explain, no, we don't hold that. We don't hold that at all. She writes in the brief, before she's the AG, but when she is arguing on the president's side, a president cannot order an elite military unit to kill a political rival, and the members of the military are required not to carry out such an unlawful order. It would be a crime to do so. Facts are sometimes inconvenient things. Listen, you can love the president. You can support the president. You also have to know where the limits to that support are. And using the Department of War to investigate a retired captain and sitting senator for saying something so obvious that even the president's own lawyers and the AG before she was AG on his behalf all know is true, and Supreme Court justices have said and treat it as though it's treasonous to say it? Well, I mean, to put the point mildly, he's wrong. 7:46 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us.
Just one accident right now on Highway 29 and West Roberts Road. It's off to the side of the road, and I'm not seeing any delays, but I wanted you to know. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Seeing about a 7-minute delay in that area on I-10. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
So if you're thinking about buying or selling a house, you want a great realtor, somebody who's going to do an outstanding job, get you all the way through to closing, somebody who has experience, knows the market, knows how to stage, photograph, list, you know, what price, how to follow up, all that stuff. And you say, well, doesn't every realtor know that? Well, I mean, they may know. I'm not sure how equal they all are doing. Okay. Some realtors sell a house a year. Some realtors sell 10 a year. They do quite well. Some sell, you know, 2 a month. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty are going to end this year right around 200 homes sold. Right around 4 a week. Now, they had been down a little bit the last couple of years, 175, 165, but they were at 230, I think it was, 3 years ago. So they know how to sell a lot of homes. And the point is, you know, now when the market's a little more challenging is when you want that expert realtor, because that's the person who's going to solve the problems, anticipate the problems, do everything just right. Because when the market's hot, it's easy. You don't have to do everything right to get a result. When the market's not hot and it's not as easy, you kind of do have to do almost everything right to get that end result of closing. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, that's the experience you need. 786-3996.
Open enrollment is here, and this year you can enroll in a Florida Blue plan and get exclusive support from an approved Florida Blue agent. Affiliated Insurance wants to help you find a health plan that's right for you and meets your needs, not theirs. Make enrollment hassle-free this year by calling 850-477-5840. Again, that's 850-477-5840, and make that appointment with your local Florida Blue agent today. Policies have limitation health insurance from Blue Cross Blue Shield Florida Incorporated, BVA Florida Blue.
This holiday season, whether you're shopping for clients, coworkers, or loved ones, Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze makes gift-giving easy and memorable. From custom apparel and drinkware to unique holiday gifts and decor, you'll find the perfect way to show your appreciation and spread cheer. Make your gifts stand out with personal touches and professional quality, all from your local experts at Prim and Proper. Visit them at 336 Gulf Breeze Parkway, primandproper.com.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit floridabrightfutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small.
Air drumming, as is appropriate.
Which is pretty good.
As is appropriate. Give me that timpani, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so good. All right. So, yeah, I'll be out next week, so I don't get much chance to play more Christmas music next week. But we have good people filling in for me. Alex Andrade on Monday. Representative Michelle Salzman, Representative Alex Andrade, filling in on Tuesday. And then Danny Zimmer, and the head of Pensacola Mardi Gras. And he's going to be on Wednesday and Friday. And then Santa's going to be hosting the show on Thursday. There won't be a show on I mean, we'll have Christmas music all day. Santa, I know him. All right, 7:51 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. What was the other thing I was going to mention? Oh, somebody had texted in which orders have been unlawful, and Trump already knows all of this, Andrew. Well, if he does, he's sure doing a good job of hiding it. Which orders have been unlawful? No, great question. Great question. I think the original video, the failure of the video, was they didn't specify which orders. They should have. Mark Kelly has subsequently said that he's concerned about the Venezuelan drug boat strikes, especially the second strike video, which now Pete Hegseth says they're not going to release. No, they should have specified. They should have specified orders. But, you know, the reiteration of the basic principle is so bland that it shouldn't even be surprising. That's why Trump's nuclear reaction to it was so hilarious. And what he doesn't, I mean, he does know, but I mean, does he? He doesn't, you know, and he hides it real well. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, U.S. firefighters that got cancer from working in toxic wildfire smoke will be getting compensation from the federal government. A law signed by President Trump yesterday makes firefighters eligible for a payment of nearly $450,000 and college tuition for their family if they either die or become debilitated from smoke-related cancer. The owner of TikTok has signed a deal that would create a U.S. version of the popular app. Yesterday, the CEO of TikTok said they'd struck a deal to create a joint venture that would be majority-owned by American investors, who would be responsible then for U.S. data protection. And members of the Kennedy family, not too happy about this plan to put President Trump's name on the Kennedy Center. JFK's niece calling it beyond wild. Joe Kennedy III said the center is named for President Kennedy by federal law and can no sooner be renamed than someone can rename the Lincoln Memorial.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. And yeah, I mean, it's just, there's no limit. It's 1,000 points of craziness all the time. And some very, very good things, too. You know, some extraordinarily good things as well. I don't love the idea of there being easier access to marijuana or there being more marijuana, but I do agree with rescheduling from, you know, category or classification 1 to classification 3. That makes sense to me. It starts to undo some of the weird tension between local rules in the states and, you know, banking operations and the rules and regulations regarding banking that the feds oversee. It makes sense. And frankly, I'd like to see research done and find out whether there are any real medical benefits to marijuana or marijuana derivatives rather than just kind of the propped up studies funded basically by people who have a financial interest in getting a certain result, which you always kind of wonder about. So I hate to see a world where there's more marijuana, but this move makes sense to me. And I think it's not surprising that, he's felt like he's gotten a lot of pressure on this, and he feels like he, made the right decision here. I support the decision. 437-1620. Meanwhile, the administration has also moved to cut off all funding for transgender. It's not care. Ugh, these words, gender affirming care. What a biased term. It's sex stifling. It's puberty blockers. It's sometimes sex change operations. I mean, just be honest about what this stuff is. The Trump administration and HHS are wielding their weight through like Medicare and Medicaid funding, which every hospital gets this. And the idea is that if you do this, you won't get that money. It's one of the, whether you like or don't like this rule, that's one of the long-term perils of taking federal money. Christian schools have for years and years not wanted to take federal money or vouchers because they're worried that that will obligate them to be neutral when it comes to religion. And they don't want to, that's a Faustian bargain. The money, the juice is not worth the squeeze. And so they want to make sure that they're kept insulated from that. Well, you got all these hospitals with all these billions and billions of dollars of, Medicaid and Medicare money. And it's understandable that they take it. But now when a politically motivated, politically aggressive, whether it's legal or not, remains to the lawsuits to figure out. But, if they threaten to cut off your funding to your hospital because you allow transgender surgeries of any kind for minors or puberty blockers or any of that kind of stuff, what do you do as a hospital? Do you keep doing those surgeries or, therapies? Or do you say, we need the money? Well, that's the power the federal government brings. It's actually, weirdly, okay, I know this seems sort of counterintuitive with what the Trump administration is doing, but they are also reducing the size and scope of the government, getting rid of the Department of Education, for example. Well, if there's no national Department of Education, I know they can't kill it. They can only, sort of let it die on the vine. Congress has to end it. But the Department of Education is another one of these massive gorillas in the room. And if the Department of Education decides they can fund or defund you based on what you do at your school, if you believe in competition between the states doing different things, trying different programs, doing different value sets, New York and Florida shouldn't have to have the same values. If New York wants to have men and girls sports and Florida wants to prohibit it, let freedom reign. If they want to have abortions in California, you don't want to have them in Florida. I don't favor them having what they have as a mistake, but I do favor letting each state do its experiment on the stuff that's not specifically given under the Constitution of the federal government. Okay, but with the Department of Education, you don't have that. They can do the same thing. They can withhold funding if the states don't fall in line. Well, you don't want that. Well, so get rid of the structure. The Trump administration is using the structure politically, but they're also dismantling the structure, de-swampifying it, so to speak, and that's a good thing. John Pickens, did we do traffic yet or did I skip you? Okay, sorry. Go ahead, sir.
It's okay.
I was busy talking about people.
Brought to you by Russell Landscape Group, delivering premier landscape construction and maintenance across the Gulf Coast, combining local expertise, reliable service, lasting quality to elevate every community that they serve. Give them a call, 770-446-3552. Back to rolling accident-free right now, even delay-free, I-10, I-110, 90, 98, 29, they're all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And by the way, that was one of the things I didn't mention yesterday because I just didn't really want to cover the Trump political campaign speech from the other night that was so ridiculous, such a waste of time. But he did have one comment in there that I do want to give him credit for. It was an interesting note. I want to play this one.
Very importantly, there are more people working today than at any time in American history, and 100% of all jobs created since I took office have been in the private sector. Think of that. 100% of all jobs have been in the private sector rather than government, which is the only way to make a country powerful and great.
Okay. Factually not true. If Escambia County hired a new firefighter or the sheriff's office hired a new deputy, yeah, That's a job. So jobs in the public sector have been created. But you know, we're quibbling, okay? What he means is the private sector has grown and I have cut government. That's an interesting observational note about how he's reduced jobs, laid off, ended. You know, I mean, that's true. If you're opposed to the growth of government and you favor a return of liberty and or economic activity to the private sector, you know, Trump has done that. Clunkily, messily, maybe with an axe instead of a scalpel. Okay, sure, but he's done that. And, you know, give credit where it's due. See, the thing is, the people who love Trump or anyone, you have trouble seeing the criticisms. And you think they're only born of hatred. No, they're just criticisms. Also, if you hate him, you know, you can't see any of the virtues. You can't see any of the good stuff because you're so blinded by hate. Blinded by love, blinded by hate. Trump derangement syndrome and Trump worship syndrome are both problems. Learn to see the issue for the issue's sake and then move on to the next thing, whatever comes up.